So I'm going to be talking about landscape painting and trying to think again about why it was that landscape painting became the dominant mode of painting, so extraordinarily important, particularly in the 19th, early 20th century. And I'm going to focus my answer on one painting by Cézanne, a very great painting, and a cluster of other remarkable paintings, one or two by Ruysdael, an etching by Rembrandt, a little splendid painting by a Danish painter called Lundby. And what I'm going to try and do is think about the way in which landscape painting was involved with interests and concerns of the culture in the 17th century in Holland, and then later in the 19th century throughout the world, really. Involved with interests, involved with the question of national identity, with the changing shape of the landscape in the 19th and 20th century, the changing kinds of relationship between men and women and their surroundings. But also, I'm very much interested in everything about landscape painting that didn't quite fit the model of interest, cultural concern, belonging to a particular historical moment. The real burden of the lecture is, what was it about landscape painting that slipped through the web of interests and belonging to the culture, and confronted nature, confronted the material world in a different kind of way, more directly, more naively. I think right at the heart of the lecture is a conviction that landscape painting would not matter as much as it did and does to us if all it did was confirm our sense of belonging, our ideas about nature and our place in it. I think that the challenge of landscape painting at its very best, and I really have chosen to look at some of the most extraordinary landscape paintings ever done, the challenge of landscape painting is that it is interested in the strangeness of the material world and our place in it. The fact that the material world is what we have, but how we have it and where we are in it, and whether or not we truly inhabit it, or what we mean by the very word inhabiting. Those are the issues that the great landscape painting, I think, grapples with. I've deliberately chosen not to deal with Australian cases in the lecture. That's deliberate because I really was terribly afraid and suspicious of sort of coming in as an outsider and pontificating about things I knew far too little about. So I'm hoping that my treatment of art in Europe will resonate with the Australian situation. Obviously, just as an outsider, just as, you know, an interested party, and I have been several times to Australia before, I'm completely fascinated by the coexistence in the culture of these two very, very strong accounts of landscape and our relation to it. You know, I think it's very special, very extraordinary, still unresolved. Looking yesterday afternoon in the National Gallery at the Heidelberg School, and then sort of moving down to the galleries on the ground floor and looking at the extraordinary range of indigenous work, I'm struck yet again by the fact that there's surely never been a situation in which two such strong landscape traditions have existed side by side in some kind of strange dialogue with each other, perhaps. Well, I think there are implications for our present situation. I think behind my lecture is persistently the question, so is nature securely ours? Ours to understand, ours to exploit, ours to make use of? Landscape painting, it seems to me, again, at its greatest, but in some ways its greatest happens a lot, right? Landscape painting often is very extraordinary. I think that's what makes it the dominant mode through much of the last 150 years. Landscape painting at its greatest really does raise the question of whether nature is ours, we're securely in it, whether we should look again at the strangeness of our relationship to the material world we're part of. Landscape painting sort of returns again and again to the idea, I think, that nature is close, the material world is close. We're in it, we're part of it. It's absolutely not at a distance from us, but how we're in it, where we're in it. A strange kind of mixture of distance and proximity, of being in it but not quite knowing where we stand in it. Those, I think, are time and again the concerns of landscape painting or the modes of relationship to landscape that landscape painting finds itself investigating. And yes, I do think those have, there's a political point to all that. Landscape painting has often been indicted in the last 25 years, and often correctly, I think, indicted as serving the interests of nation building or a certain kind of aristocratic or indeed bourgeois view of the availability of the material world to manipulation and exploitation. Those indictments are completely understandable, often true. Landscape painting can be servile, but it is constantly, I think, there's an undercurrent in landscape painting which works the other way and puts us again in front of the material world as a problem which we've still got to solve.